We have spoken many times about the problems that guide dog owners have faced when out and about, particularly around access refusal to places like cafes, restaurants, bars, private hire taxis. However, these refusals should not take place, as they are covered by different laws, including the Equalities Act, but we have perhaps another tool in the armoury to tell you about today. Now, first of all, I'm going to be chatting with Samantha Fothergill from RNIB. Sam, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. So at RNIB, we've been very concerned about the continued level of refusals, and potentially I think after the first lockdown we saw refusals increasing. And one of the things we've been looking at is the licensing system. So any shops or restaurants that sell alcohol have to have a license, and they have various duties under that license to protect members of the general public to not act unlawfully. So we've been reporting access refusals to councils where they're licensed premises. But in November, Westminster Council put out a consultation document to talk about their statement of licensing policy, so their approach to licensing for the following 3 years. So they look at how you get a license, what is expected of licensees, what happens around enforcement. And they were consulting on that. And one of the particular issues that they had raised was their duties to promote equality. So we took the opportunity to submit a consultation response to Westminster talking about the problem that guide dog users were experiencing. And in response to our consultation response, what they have decided is to publish a supplementary licensing document. And that document is going to set out their expectations, particularly in relation to equality and diversity, and what they expect license holders to do. And what we're hoping will be in that licensing document is to make it absolutely crystal clear to license holders what their expectations are in terms of not refusing guide dog users, but also talking to them about the need to train staff, the need to have stickers in the windows that explain that assistance dogs are welcome. And I think that that would go a long way to making sure that license holders stick by the law if they know that if they don't, that it has implications for their license, which obviously then has implications for their livelihood. So we're pretty hopeful that this is a good way forward. And we've got to try something, because at the moment what we're doing isn't working.
And we also have John with us. John, it sounds as if you faced more than one refusal in your time.
When Sam contacted me about Westminster, I was able to share a considerable list of refusals. By profession, I'm a comms director and have spent a good part of my career as a lobbyist, so working in Westminster. And I even had a job where I was working in Westminster Council's own offices. And being in and around Westminster, I've experienced a lot of refusals from food shops, non-food shops, a bank, a pub, restaurants, you name it. And obviously, if that's your essential place of work, whether that's if you're having a work dinner or you're attending an event or whatever, actually it makes life incredibly difficult and, professionally speaking, enormously embarrassing, as well as, you know, the personal humiliation and distress that it causes. The reason I engaged with Sam and the reason I've continually engaged with RNIB is that there's a real willingness with RNIB to take enforcement seriously. And there are, to my mind, three big things that we need to do to tackle this issue. Training, which is important, but, you know, is not going to be the thing that changes the world. I think licensing, and the reason licensing, I think, is inspired, frankly, and this is someone that's very familiar with the legislation, is the fact that it removes responsibility from individuals and places responsibility on a company. So instead of it being the responsibility of a guide dog owner, which it is at the moment, it places that responsibility firmly on a corporation or another organisation. And then the last is enforcement. So either by complaining to a licensing authority, which is a much more accessible way of doing things, and ultimately court action if that doesn't work, but it kind of takes this, it pushes the court action bit a little bit further back and a little bit more of an accessible process, I think, for visually impaired people. So I think it's a really, really smart way to tackle the issue. And it's another tool in the toolbox.
It can be, I would imagine for many people, quite a draining thing on top of, as you say, you know, the embarrassment of having that refusal in the first place.
If I'm going out and I'm going into a shop or a restaurant or whatever, I call it feeling the fear, and I get quite anxious. And, you know, on occasion I've had kind of panic attacks, particularly if I'm visiting a chain, so like Pizza Express, where I've been refused before many times, in fact, not just once. My first trip out after lockdown ended, and bearing in mind I've been shielding, so in fact I needed a cash point is what I needed, and the cash point happened to be at a post office, and I walked through the door, the post office at the back of a kind of a news agent's, which is a licensed premises, the person at the counter said no dogs, and that was my first trip with Brett, and you know, clearly that's not acceptable. And there was a big case with me last year, which kind of made a lot of the papers, where Sainsbury's in Holborn refused me. And that's the second or third time they've refused me at that store. And the only way that I've been able to tackle it, frankly, is with the support of R&IB, who have been, you know, really brilliant at supporting me. Because actually, apart from R&IB, there's no one else to support you with guide dog refusals like that.
Sam, I think John really paints a picture of the real impact that these refusals have. You know, it's not just an inconvenience. It's really stopping you going about your day-to-day business, living your everyday life, even, you know, getting cash or getting shopping or meeting up with people. So this could perhaps be a turning point, not just for Westminster, but perhaps other councils as well.
What we're hoping is if we can get some good guidance out of Westminster, then that's something that we can encourage other local authorities to adopt as well. I think it's fair to say that local authorities have not really been asked to do this before. When we've reported licensing refusals, they've kind of said, you know, I've worked here for 15 years. This is the first time I've ever come across this. I didn't realise it was such a big problem. And some have been very positive, some have been less positive. But I think we're hoping that if we get something good from Westminster, we can encourage other local authorities to adopt it. And it might just be another route in to try and address the problem. Because as I sort of said before, something's got to give. Every local authority has to review their statements of licensing policy every 3 years. So there's always going to be an opportunity to get them to put something in.
This time it's more stick then, because the carrots just don't seem to be working, especially if that can be enshrined in the license as well. If there are other people out there listening to the Sam who are going through the same thing or have gone through the same thing as John, can they get in touch with R&IB about this?
Absolutely. I mean, we want guide dog users to report refusals when they happen. I think it's really important. I understand why people don't. It's very distressing. They just want to move on. But if they can report the refusals to us, use our toolkit, and then we can chat to them about whether they want to use the licensing route, if they prefer to use the court route. But we're absolutely focused on the need for using enforcement tools to actually try and put an end to these refusals.
Now, as Sam says, there's lots of help and advice on R&IB's website. Go to rnib.org.uk/campaigning. You can always get in touch with the helpline as well, 0303 123 9999, and we'll look to follow this story through Westminster Council. But for the moment, to Sam and to John, thanks to both of you for speaking with us on R&IB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.